Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's his second appearance on the station today. But my man, my friend, one of the all-time great guys that I've had the pleasure of working with, hanging out with, Jumpin' Johnny Burton from Nashville, Tennessee, covers the Titans, doing his own radio thing out there now. He's a certified trainer, all-around good guy, renaissance man. Johnny, how the heck are you?
Well, I'm doing great after an introduction like that. This is actually my third appearance today on The Fan. It would have been my fourth in 2 days had I been able to work out a schedule with Paul Zeiss last night. So three things right off the bat. Number one, great to be on with you. Number two, so great to hear you back on The Fan where you belong. And number three, how wonderful is it hearing about these ex-Pirate pitchers that are pitching deep into the postseason for other teams?
Oh, the old pitch to contact didn't work well. We don't, you know, when you can strike a guy out, is that a bad thing? I mean,
not
seriously,
so much.
When you overthink things to that level, you have guys like Charlie Morton. I mean, his stuff, we just talked about it all the time when he was here the first time. His stuff is electric. Now, granted, he lacked a little mental toughness. He didn't really try to bury guys. He didn't go after guys. He didn't have that Garrett Cole mentality at all. However, his stuff was filthy, and they still tried to teach him to pitch the contact. They couldn't hit the ball. He had to serve it up for him to hit it. If he threw his normal curveball or his slider, they weren't touching it, Johnny.
Oh, man. Paul, I just remember our early days, you, me, and Colony on the original Fan Morning Show talking about Charlie Morton's stuff. We spent the whole summer talking about Charlie Morton has great stuff. And like you said, how the organization tried to tinker with him. And, you know, you look at what he's done and what Garrett Cole has done, and it's just, you know, I feel for the Pirate
it's
fans.
Scary.
I mean, listen, Pittsburgh deserves a winning baseball team. It's a shame what's happened with the Pirates organization. You had a great case a few years ago, 98 wins. I was so happy for the organization. And someday, Paul, I promise you, if the Pirates win the World Series, you know me, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. If the Pirates ever win the World Series, I am coming back for the parade. I will be there. I promise you.
And we'll be together, and we're going to tear it up like we used to.
No doubt.
Here's one thing that I have to admit, you know, having been a part of watching the transformation from Three Rivers to PNC, and, you know, I covered the construction of it and all that kind of stuff. We all did. And then they have a couple hundred lost seasons, and it's just, wow. All right, this is a beautiful ballpark. Will they ever host a postseason game? And I had my doubts. So those 3 years, and you mentioned the 98-win season, the Cueto game, and all the things that we witnessed there, we got a little taste, and it was incredible, absolutely incredible. But now we're at that point where, are we going to see it again? And it's hard to kind of buy in. It's kind of hard to believe it, but you're right. But let's get to the topic at hand. How good are your Tennessee Titans?
Well, I think we're going to find out on Sunday when they play a really good Pittsburgh Steelers team, you know. The Titans are 5-0, like the Steelers, but four of those five wins have been kind of, you know, walking a wire. You know, they've needed some last-minute drives by Ryan Tannehill in the offense to either get a game-winning field goal or, as was the case last week against the Houston Texans, just to get into the end zone and tie the game in fourth overtime. So they've had some lapses, especially defensively, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And, you know, they've even had some lapses on offense as well. And, you know, last week they let a big lead slip away, and, they'd almost cost them a win. So looking at where they're at and looking at what they've done, yeah, they're 5-0, but we're going to find out if they're a legit serious contender, I think, in the AFC based on what they do against the Steelers on Sunday. Now, the good news for both teams, Paul, as you know, this is not a loser-leaves-town match. Whoever loses this game is still in it for the AFC, and I think both teams are going to be battling deep into January for the top spot and maybe that Super Bowl spot in the AFC. Of course, you got to throw the Ravens and the Chiefs in there and a couple other teams. But, it's just going to be a fascinating matchup because styles make fights, right? Titans want to run the ball. The Steelers stop to run about as well as any team in the league, probably better than any team in the league.
How much of a freak is Derek Fenwick? We've seen great Brett. I mean, we've seen Jerome Bettis, who played a probably 265, for heaven's sakes, with great feet. We've seen Eddie George, I go back to Earl Campbell, and there's been other big, great backs. But as Mike Tomlin pointed out, this is like Bud Dupree running with the football. I mean, this is a legitimate outside linebacker-sized man with better speed, sprinter speed, breakaway speed. How does that happen?
It was like he was made in a lab, Paul. I mean, the dude's an alien. 6'3", 247 pounds, breakaway speed. You know, you mentioned some of those great big backs with speed. I remember, I grew up idolizing Herschel Walker, Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, guys 230-pound plus with world-class breakaway speed and power. And Henry has all of that. And it wasn't always that way. You know, when he first got in the league, Paul, he tried to bounce everything outside. And once he realized, you know what, everybody's fast in this league. He had a heart-to-heart talk a couple of years ago with none other than Eddie George, the Titans legend who still lives here in Nashville. And like you said, he was a big man with power and speed. And he basically told him, look, you got to start running like a big man. You got to get behind your pads and start blasting people. And whatever he said to him, it's worked because, in the fourth quarter, just like all those years covering Jerome Bettis, fourth quarter, you see big tough guys like Brian Dawkins and some of these, stud safeties and linebackers. Fourth quarter, you see that big horse coming at you, you start making business decisions. And we've seen that with Derrick Henry. We've seen him shrug guys off like Earl Thomas and Josh Norman in that Tuesday night game, just gave him the nasty stiff arm. This guy is legit. And what he's done also, Paul, he's really worked on being a three-down back. He's worked really hard on his pass-catching ability. He caught a big pass, turned it into a big gain last week in overtime to set up the game, his game-winning touchdown against the Texans. This guy's become really, one of the top running backs in the league. And, to be in the building for that 94-yard touchdown run he had last week against the Texans, wow. It's one thing to see it on tape or on a highlight, to see it live when it looks like these little itty-bitty defensive backs have an angle on him. And with every step, those guys are getting further and further and further away from him. I was in the building for that 94-yard run. I was in the building when he went 99 yards for the touchdown to tie TD's record on that Thursday night game against the Jaguars. This guy, for his size, his speed, it's unbelievable. Like I said, I think the guy's an alien.
He's freakish. However, I don't think he's really something that the Steelers have to worry about if they're just going to do, Derrick Henry. That's not going to work. I want to know what you think about Ryan Tannehill. Is he a guy that can make you pay? If you're peeking in the backfield because Henry's getting a lot of carries, he pulls it out on play action. How good is this kid? How good can he be?
That's a great question, Paul. I mean, listen, what the Titans want to do, right? They want to run the football and then have Ryan Tannehill beat you with play action. So, it's kind of a pick your poison type of situation. Are you going to walk your safeties up to stop Derrick Henry? If that's the case, Ryan Tannehill is perfectly capable of beating you with play action. He's got weapons to work with. He's in sync with Arthur Smith, the OC's offense. It's a rhythm passing game. The ball comes out on time. He's got good tight ends and Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser. They should be getting Corey Davis back to go with A.J. Brown from the wideout position. He's got running backs out of the backfield he can throw to. Henry, Henry's a guy, and Jeremy McNichols is a guy that nobody really talks about, but he's basically a change of pace back that can work. And the guy that really I think is going to be the key this week is the Titans slot receiver, Adam Humphries. He's kind of in that Wes Welker mode, you know, the smaller slot receiver that's a nightmare in space for safeties and linebackers. Short passing game, keep the third downs manageable, especially without Taylor Lewan, because you don't want to be stuck in second and third and long and know that, you know, Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt are going to be come screaming off the edge hunting your quarterback.
They are a heck of a lot to deal with. And it starts, it's predicated with the run game. And I'm still, and I know we're seeing a lot of football teams come back to that. At a point, we were calling it 7-on-7, flag football. No, if you run it and play defense, you can be in every game. Are the Titans capable of getting good enough defensively to, like, as you said, make that late January run, be an AFC contender?
As we talk now, Paul, I would have to say no. The Titans are struggling in a lot of areas. You know, pass defense, they're giving up about 272 yards passing per game. They're not getting off the field on third downs. They're not getting a consistent pass rush, which is kind of disappointing. You know, they were counting on a really good pass rush this year. You know, they signed Jadeveon Clowney right before the start of the season.
Right.
He, you know, he's knocked down a couple of passes. He doesn't have a sack yet. Vic Beasley.
That means you're not getting there if you're knocking down passes.
Right, exactly. He's not, yeah, that's not what he's there to knock down passes.
Right.
You know, Vic Beasley, the guy from the Falcons, they signed him for a year, you know, to a one-year deal. He hasn't done anything yet. Harold Landry was a guy who had, seven sacks last year. I think he only has one. I think as a team, the Titans only have six or seven sacks on the season. So they're not getting off the field on third down either. I mean, yeah, they blew out the Bills on that Tuesday night, but the Bills were 13 for 17 on third downs in that game. You know, the Texans last week, they were 50% on third downs. And quarterbacks have had all day to throw. And we've seen teams convert third and 16, third and 13 with ease. And so that's an issue. And you know this, Paul. You've been watching ball a long time, as have I. You said it perfectly. You got to be able to play defense if you want to make a deep run in January. So, you know, are the mistakes they're making correctable? Sure. Could we see, you know, where Jadeveon Clowney, all of a sudden it clicks and the sacks start coming in bunches? Sure, that guy's a special player. That guy's a freak. But right now, that defense is going to have to improve a lot if this team really wants to make a serious run to get to the Super Bowl.
We're with John Burton, living in Nashville, cut his teeth, Syracuse. I mean, this guy has been everywhere. WTAE, Launch the Fan, has done it all. This is his third appearance today on the Fan. Hopefully there's a check on the way. There should be, for heaven's sakes. I have just had so many legendary moments with you. I can't even. And I don't. Has anyone in Nashville mistaken you for Andrew Stocky? Has that happened?
No.
Oh, what a relief.
You know,
that
Ron Cook has compared my career to Bob Pompiani, so I consider that a compliment. You know, I got a lot of respect for the Pompinator. And, you know, I'm sure if Colony were on right now, yeah, if Colony were on right now, he'd compare me to Andrew Stocky because he knows that drives me up a wall. Listen, I love Andrew. I've worked with him for a long time at WTAE. But, you know, he and I are friends, and I value him. But we, other than the color of our skin, we are two very different people, and you know that, Paul.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to get into the many differences, but yes, very, very, very different human beings. No question about that. The one thing that I miss more than anything is your Ben Howland. And I know it's hard to work that in now because for a lot of folks out there, Ben Howland's not even relevant to them anymore, but he really brought Pitt basketball back and he was a wonderful guy. But if you could just give me a little Ben Howland, it would be good for the soul. It would just feel good and I would enjoy it.
Well, first of all, Paul, it's great to be on your show. You know, you're one of the great guys when I was coaching at Pittsburgh. But what you guys in the media don't understand is when you go to the NCAA tournament, it's a one-and-done situation. If you don't shoot well, if you don't rebound, you're going to be out. That's why I left for UCLA. I didn't tell anybody. My ambitions got the best of me, Paul. I haven't done it in a while, so I'm a little out of practice.
Oh, but it's still, no, that's spot on. When you did a phone call between Walt Harris and Ben Howland, that was, I don't think I could get off the floor for about 20 minutes. That was just absolutely unbelievable. I only have a little time left, and that's probably good for you. You need to get a break from the Fan, for heaven's sakes. But I followed Mike Vrabel as a linebacker at Ohio State. I covered him when he was here as a Steeler, and obviously he destroyed the Steelers as a New England Patriot. How is he as a head coach? Is this guy, to me, I think he's just climbing toward greatness. I don't know if he's on that track, but it feels like it.
I agree with you, Paul. I just think he walks that fine line between being a player's coach and being a stern disciplinarian. He knows how to push all the right buttons. His players love playing for him, and he's very to the point, a lot like Mike Tomlin. You know, very to the point, very structured, very organized, very no excuses. We have to go out and get the job done. You know, Tomlin preaches the standard is the standard, and Vrabel preaches effort and finish. You know, it's the same thing, no matter what. You know, you adapt to whatever situations there are, and you go out and you play your butt off for 60 minutes, and you play physical. And that's what he preaches, and I agree with you. I think he's climbing the ladder to be one of the better coaches in the NFL.
I think he's on the right track, and I think he has that mentality. I love his defensive background. The majority of great coaches have that. They have a background in defensive football. You know, you have to get points on the board to win games, to put fannies in the seats, to get ratings. I know all that. To win championships, you still need to play a little defense, and I know he knows that as well as anyone.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and look at where he's been. You mentioned it, Ohio State, the Pittsburgh Steelers, New England Patriots. You know, this guy has had some of the best football training a guy could ever have. I mean, this was a guy very late in his career. He made first-team All-Pro with the Kansas City Chiefs as an aging middle linebacker. Why? Because he's smart. He understands the game plan. He understands football and all the intricacies and where to be and what to do when you get there. Was he a physical freak when he played? No, but he played smart. He played physical. The standard was the standard, and he played with a lot of great effort and finish. And again, that's what he preaches to his players.
I remember I was in New England. I covered the, the blizzard, that crazy tuck rule game.
Yeah.
And I was interviewing the team that was coming to Pittsburgh, and that was New England. And when I stuck a microphone in his face, he goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, you're coming to face the Steelers, and you're the perfect guy for me to talk to right now. You know a little something about him." So he's always been incredible. And unfortunately, I watch him beat up on my Nittany Lions a good bit, too. I think he had a 3-4-0 record against Penn State in his time there. But he's formidable, and he's a smart guy and a great guy. He reminds me a lot of you, John Burton. You're that. You're a smart guy, a great guy. I appreciate your time. I know you're super busy now. You're doing the things I used to do back in the day, the radio and TV juggle. You're a man on a mission, and you're getting it done. The only thing that I'm not real happy about is that you're not doing it here. I wish you were still here, my friend.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, Paulie. You know I love you, man. You and I go back a long way, and you've been there for me through a lot of tough times in my life. And, you know, I want to thank you for that. And we've had many a talk when we're bending the elbow or at the gym together or whatever. And of course we did the fan morning show, the original fan morning show together for a while. We were amongst the first voices ever heard on that station. I'm very, very proud of that. Very proud of 93.7 The Fan, very proud to be an alum and what that station's become, because when you and I started, man, there was a lot of hate going around saying, "You guys suck. This station's not going to last." And look where you are now, over a decade in, the home of the Pirates, the home of Pitt. I beam with pride, man. I love 93.7 The Fan and everybody there. And I thank you and everybody that made it possible for me, because that station came along at a time in my life when I damn sure needed it.
And it worked out perfect. And, Nashville's gain is our loss. There's no question about that. One of these days, like on a Thursday night or Friday morning, I'm going to hop in the car, drive to Nashville and find you. And we're going to bend the elbow and we're going to have some fun.
Absolutely. You know, I get back a couple times a year and I'm kicking myself that I don't make sure to get in touch with you. But I will. Once all this pandemic crap dies down, man, I'll be back soon to Pittsburgh. And it'll be you and me, man. A little steak, some cigars, and some fine adult beverages, my friend.
Shame we can't find an old Damon still in operation.
I know. Fun night. That was a bad call.
Oh, you're vintage Ed Bouchette. John Burton, enjoy the game on Sunday. Stay in touch. Stay well. Be safe. And God bless you. Thanks so much for your time.
Love you, Paulie. So glad you're back on the fan, man. I'll talk soon, my friend.
That's a blast. I love you, my friend. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.